right. We've now been joined by our race-winning team. We're joined by the race winner, Chase Briscoe, driver of the number 98 Ford, Performance Ford, the team owner, Fred Biaggi, and the crew chief, Richard Boswell. And, Chase, we'll just get a quick opening statement from you. First of all, congratulations on today's win. But you won your first NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race last November, I believe. Was able to come back. You won a truck race earlier this year at Eldora, and then obviously won your first NASCAR Xfinity Series championship, or excuse me, race win here today at Charlotte. Just talk a little bit about this past year and kind of what that's been like, and then obviously coming home in victory lane today.
Yeah, just going back to what you said about, you know, the past couple of years, it was in this very room where I first got a chance at a stock car. They had the Peak Stock Car Dream Challenge with Michael Waltrip, and I remember coming down to Charlotte, never had turned a lap in a stock car, and I didn't win the competition, but this was kind of what kickstarted it. And my family never had money or anything, so I never thought stock car racing would even be a possibility. And I just moved down here and was sleeping on couches, volunteering at race shops, and somehow convinced the Cunningham family to let me drive their ARCA car 2 years ago, and then winning the championship there. And then last year, getting to drive for Brad Keselowski was, you know, came full circle. I volunteered at Brian Keselowski and Bob Keselowski's shop, and now to be an Xfinity winner when I never expected to even get a chance to run in the NASCAR or any of the top three series. So just been such a blessing, and just been so blessed in general. And just to get a drive for, you know, my hero, Tony Stewart, growing up in Indiana, being a sprint car guy, you know, Tony was my hero and my idol. And to get a call from him in Victory Lane and to put that name in Victory Lane with that team is just so unbelievable.
All right, we'll go ahead and take questions for Chase, Fred, or Richard. If you have one, please raise your hand, state your name and affiliation, and we'll start with Jenna.
Jenna Fryer, AP. Congratulations, Chase.
Thank you.
I understand Tony called you in Victory Lane. What did he have to say?
Well, we talked about sprint car racing for a little bit. I guess he's in Wisconsin, I'm assuming, running IRA. So we talked about that a little bit. Him and Rico were up there, and then just said, really good job. And we just talked about how I was just telling somebody earlier today, I feel like Tony was always really good at road course races just because of his sprint car background, and it related a lot. So, and to be honest with you today, I felt a lot like I was in a sprint car, surprisingly. I just tried to keep the tires hooked up at all times, and was a little sideways, but just tried to keep the rear tires under me and keep it hooked up. And it was pretty special, though, getting a call from him.
And you did mention out in Victory Lane again just now that you treated it like a dirt track. What was your natural inclination to do that, and why do you think it benefited you?
Yeah, I don't, you know, the past couple of days I was way off, and, you know, we were surprised just to make the final round today in qualifying. So I knew when the race would start I would get better and learn around guys. But honestly, I don't think any of the crew chiefs or anybody expected tires to be such a big deal. And as a driver, I never expected to be that much, you know, loss of forward drive. And once I felt that, I just tried to make sure the rear tires never spun no matter what I did. And I may have gave up a little bit of time coming off the corner, but I'd make it back up down the straightaway. And I felt like that was why I was better always at the end of the run. And it was just big. And, you know, honestly, running Eldora this year helped quite a bit just because it did relate on corner exits. So it's pretty special to be the first winner at the Roval. It was just big personally for me. You know, I told Boswell earlier, I almost came over the radio just when I led a lap. I couldn't believe I finally led a lap on a road course because it's been such a struggle for me. So to be able to win when everybody was on an equal playing field coming into the weekend, it just meant a lot.
All right, Daniel.
Dylan McFadden with NBC Sports. About 8 hours ago, I talked to you in the garage, and I asked you to grade your season to date, and you gave yourself a D- and called it a disaster. So 8 hours later, what's your grade for your season, and has your tune changed on road courses?
Yeah, we're up to about a C- now, so we got to keep working. But yeah, you know, I feel like in the past on road courses, I always came in with the mentality just drive it as hard as you possibly can, you know, just drive it to the absolute max, slide around everywhere. And it just never was fast. And going back to Mid-Ohio this year, Billy Johnson came and kept drilling into my head, just slow down, roll as much as you can. And earlier this week, it really didn't help. I felt like for a single lap time, you had to kind of get up on the wheel and be aggressive with it. But then after five laps, I just started doing kind of what Billy told me, just let it roll as much as possible and try to not abuse the front tires. And these cars aren't really made for road courses, and to be driving them hard So you just have to let them do what they want to do and just roll with it. So Billy has been a big help. Everybody at Ford for allowing me to go run road course races this year on the IMSA side has been a huge help, because without that, I for sure would have been in left field even more than what I was at the beginning of the weekend.
All right. Jacob and then Caleb.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport. First, congratulations, Chase. Second, your DJ chair at Millbridge is getting cold, so you know you're famous now. So we need to fix that at some point.
But yeah, I'll be back there in a couple weeks for that Keith Coons race.
You better be. All right. So now for the real points here. You actually referenced it just then. How important has the Ford development program, and specifically the fact that they've put so much effort into getting you in the IMSA car this year? How big was that into today?
Oh, it's been huge. You know, obviously the cars aren't identical, but just learning how to race on a road course and how to pass on road courses is such a big key to all this. And I think you saw it with both, not only me, but also Majeski. You know, we were eighth and ninth in qualifying. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, I think if you would have, you know, rated our road course skills, they weren't near to where they were today. And that's a huge testament to what the Ford Motor Companies did on the IMSA side. And we're actually going to go run in 2 weeks at Road Atlanta. So I'm excited to go back now with a little more confidence and see what we can do over there.
You were emotional after the truck win at Eldora in July. How's today rate on that scale?
Yeah, it's honestly, I'd say this one passes Eldora. I mean, Eldora personally was special, but I've been really down on myself just with how my performance has been on the Xfinity side. And even at the beginning of the weekend, you know, even looking back at the end of yesterday, I was still 2 seconds off the pace. So just to show up in qualifying today and be within a half second of Cindric, personally was a big deal for me, just because I feel like I rate myself off of Austin to go road course racing from, you know, being teammates with him at Brad and being teammates with him in the IMSA side. And obviously he's a really good road course racer. So, you know, it's definitely a big deal to win on a road course. I was joking around. I never thought I'd even lead a lap on a road course. So I was waiting for the caution to come out there at the end, though. I felt like restarts were so crucial, you know, getting the lead down into one. And I kept worrying myself, and we were arguing on the radio back and forth about what lanes better to choose. And, you know, I felt like if you picked the bottom lane and you didn't get the lead, then you were going to be passed every time just because you were on the wrong side of the other corners. So just great execution by Richard, you know, getting his track position all day long. Obviously, it would have been really cool to win a stage, but it's even cooler to win the race. So he did an awesome job all day long of calling the race and putting us in position.
And real quick for Fred, this is the fifth time you've gotten a trophy in one of these things. The previous four were all with veteran drivers. You had Mike Wallace, Almirola, and then Harvick back when we talked at Atlanta. What's it mean to be able to help develop a driver like Briscoe and get him his first win?
You're not a seasoned veteran?
Far from it.
They lied to me. No, it's great. He's number one, he's a great young man, and as you've seen this afternoon, he's a damn good race car driver, too. So I would say look for him to be in racing full-time someplace very soon.
All right. We're going to go to Caleb up to the press box, and then we'll come back down. Go ahead, Caleb.
Caleb Whistler, KickingTheTires.net. Fred, you kind of jumped shift over here to Stuart Haas with Gene and Tony. Kind of, what has this year been like for you being a partner with Gene and Tony?
Well, it's amazing because of the assets they have and the people they have. But all the people are just really dedicated to one thing, and that's winning. And I think it rubs off. It probably starts, I guess, with Tony. I think his will to win is infectious, and it makes everybody else feel the same way.
Okay, up to the press box.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. Congratulations, Chase. I know this has been something you wanted a long time. Can you talk about what it was like as far as, you know, what you've endured in the sixth car this year? And, you know, it went through the same issues again today. And going through that, does that make this point even sweeter because of everything that you've gone through this?
Yeah, for sure. It makes you appreciate it a lot more. You know, anytime you're in a down slump and you come out on top, it makes you appreciate it more. And you know, honestly, running that bag gives you even more of a desire to win, in my opinion. You know, going back to the ARCA stuff, when we were winning all the time, it was almost like, not that it came easy, but it was just you were expected to go win, and if you won, you won. And when you go and run bad, you put so much pressure on yourself to go perform and prove that you can still do it. And, you know, going back to this year, I feel like my stock personally has went down just because of how we've ran other racetracks and getting caught up in wrecks. And believe it or not, I go a lot by Pockers' top 20 list, and I've dropped significantly on that. So I had to prove myself again. So it means the world to be able to get this win. And obviously Eldora, you know, meant a lot, and I felt like that helped my stock a little bit. But, you know, I'm a dirt guy, and I felt like I was – you know, expected to almost be a contender to go win Eldora here. I felt like nobody expected me to really to win and to just be the guy that adapted, I guess, the best. You know, everybody was on an equal playing field all weekend, and we definitely came a long way. I watched probably 2 or 3 hours of video just last night trying to get better just because I was so far off. And a huge thank you to Cole Custer. He went through sector times with me and his notes, and we went through our onboards, and it was a big help just being able to use that. And everybody at Stewart Haas does such a great job of trying to make me learn and get better as a race car driver. Richard does an awesome job of doing his part and studying and giving me notes and what to do and trying to help me break down, you know, what I need to go faster. So it's just it's a company win and an awesome thing to do.
And Fred, you said we would see Chase in a car full time. Is it possible that would be a 98 car second car at Stewart Haas?
Could you loan me $4 million?
I'll play Powerball.
Yeah, we really don't know what we're doing next year. I would assume before too long we'll have some kind of an announcement what we're up to, but we're still working on things.
All right, additional questions in the press box?
Yes. Chase, congrats, young man. I know it was a well-deserved win, but talk me through the last lap and how it felt, and at what point did you know, my God, I'm going to win this thing, and just your emotions after that.
Yeah, I was waiting for a caution, to be honest with you. I just knew it was going to come, it seemed like, and, you know, we got to the last lap, and actually coming to, it was either 2 to go or 3 to go. Coming into to 15 and 16, I screwed up and completely missed the corner, and I was like, oh, no, I just gave everything I had away, and now I'm going to have to drive everything I got to try to pull back away, and you know, luckily Justin wasn't close enough to take advantage of that. But yeah, the last lap, I knew I had to get through the infield part and just not go off the racetrack. And it was tough because I honestly screwed up even more the last lap just because I wasn't trying to screw up. I kind of underdrove and it changed a couple things the cars was doing. And once I got on the backstretch, I started praying, honestly, and thanking the Lord, just because, you know, I never expected to be in this opportunity in the first place. And then to be able to win is just, such a blessing and so unbelievable. So just kept praying all the way around and thanking him for everything he's done.
Quick follow-up. You're going to Petit Le Mans for IMSA in a couple weeks. And obviously a full-time ride somewhere would be your goal. Would it matter where it's at, or do you have a preference of a NASCAR, IMSA, or, you know, Indy, wherever?
Yeah, I mean, my goal is to be, ever since I grew up, was to be a NASCAR driver. That's all I ever wanted to do was be a cup champion and win cup races and prove that I could do it. So, you know, for sure, I would love to run in the NASCAR Cup Series. But, you know, my whole goal growing up was, outside of NASCAR, was just make a living driving a race car. That's what I love to do. That's what I've always wanted to do. And, you know, whatever I can do that in, I'm going to be content and happy. And wherever the Lord places me, I feel like it's where I need to be. So, you know, if I go back and, you know, it's not meant to be for me to be in NASCAR and something else happens, then I'm content with that. But if it's the way I want it to be, I definitely want to be in the Cup Series and driving for a top-notch team like Stewart Haas, for example, and, you know, battling and winning championships. That's what it's all about.
All right. One more question in the press box.
Yeah, Chris Knight, CatchMens.com. Chase, last year, Brett Keselowski was insistent that you had the capabilities and talents to be a Sunday driver. And Chad Bryant said after the race, your ARCA champion crew chief said that today's performance helped prove to everybody that you have the skill to do that. Do you feel like that their statements today were validated by your performance?
Nah, I mean, I don't try to feed into that, honestly. I just try to go out and do the best I can do each and every week and just try to be the best race car driver and the best person I can be and treat everybody with respect. And, you know, if, like I said earlier, if it's meant to be for me to be in the Cup Series, it'll happen. And if it's not, it just doesn't happen. I got to, you know, be content with that. But I'm going to do everything on my part to do that. And just, you know, going back to what I said earlier, just so thankful that the Ford Motor Company believes in me like they do and are giving me opportunities to you know, have a chance to be that Sunday guy. So today I feel like definitely helps that situation. But, you know, I'm not going to feed into that or buy into that. I got to keep winning races. That's what you got to do, you know. you're only as good as your last race. So, you know, we can go to Dover next week and you'd be way off the pace and people can forget about you again. So you just got to go out each and every weekend and prove your worth.
All right, we're going to come back downstairs. Bob, Daniel, and then Steven. Bob, go ahead.
Bob Pockrose, ESPN. Are you sweating over whether of what you're going to do next year, or are you a guy who just is it's still September and these things will work out?
No, I mean, obviously you worry, but like I said earlier, I know Ford Motor Company believes in me, and that's everything that I put my faith into and trust. And, you know, if I can keep, you know, performing and winning races, I feel like then they're keeping me in a race car. That's, like I said earlier, I got to do my part. And if I do that and it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. I just got to do what I know I'm capable of doing and keep trying my best and trying to become a better race car driver each and every week and just learning it. And that's been the tough thing about, you know, running part-time is, you know, running once a month and then coming back and trying to get back in a rhythm and, you know, jumping in and out of race cars, going to the IMSA stuff, running sprint car stuff. It helps you 100%, you know, being versatile and learning each and everything. But it does make it tough when, you know, you're in one car one week and then, you know, 3 weeks later you're back in it. It takes you a little bit to get back in the rhythm. So these guys are really good. You know, they do it each and every weekend. They're some of the best race car drivers in the world. So, you know, I just got to keep doing what I'm doing and see what happens.
Bobby is going to expect to move up on that list just a bit. All right, Daniel, go ahead.
This is for Richard. Through the infrequent chances to work with Chase this season, how have you viewed him and his progression up until this point, and how surprised are you by what you guys are able to do today?
Well, you know, when we started this weekend, we didn't have the car where it needed to be. You know, Chase felt like he had some improvements to do, so to improve as much as we did is a pleasant surprise. But, you know, I don't feel like we've given Chase a fair shake throughout all of this. We ran him at Bristol. You know, we had an issue early on. Even after that, he led some laps. We go to Talladega, and we all know Talladega is a crapshoot. And, you know, after that, we went to Charlotte, and we struggled, man. Like, we struggled figuring out what Chase needed at the test, and we all kind of worked hard. And by the end of it, you know, we end up getting taken out on a restart by the 18. We were racing with the 18. So that was just the amount of progression we've seen with him from the start of an event to the end of an event is unbelievable. He has worked so hard this weekend, and I'm super proud of him for that. Just because he takes, you know, sometimes we feel like we're being too hard on him, and he takes it all with a grain of salt, and he learns from it, and he's so humble. With the things that we talk to him about, and just to me, that's what makes this kid the real deal, is just the attitude that he has off the racetrack. I think his talent speaks for itself. You know, we saw him lead a lot of laps last year in the Truck Series and finally get that win. And you know, he hasn't had a solid foundation this year. You know, it's hard for us and for the guys on the 60 to run different drivers on a weekly basis and figure out everything they need. And, you know, for, you know, to have his back, we need to work with him every week, you know, and to be able to accomplish what we accomplished today, I'm just super proud of all the guys on our team for sticking with it, and especially Chase for continuing to work hard and watch video throughout all of it.
All right. Let's see, Steven.
Steve Conley, podiumfinish.net. Chase, you and Daniel Hemric put on one heck of a battle through the middle portion of that race. How much of a relief was it for you to look up and see him having to pull off to serve that penalty? And did you feel that was the biggest bullet that you had to dodge?
Yeah, I felt like Daniel all weekend, him and Cindric were really the two guys that you had to watch out for. And, you know, that last restart, having Cindric fourth, I knew that he's going to be aggressive, especially in the playoffs. He knows that this is probably his best chance to win just because he's so good on the road course stuff. And I knew Daniel had been super fast all weekend as well. And I honestly didn't know down deep if I had it. I knew if I could get the jump, that would help a ton just because I could kind of dictate what was going on. But, you know, Daniel was better in a lot of the slow speed part of the racetrack, and I was afraid he was going to get to my bumper and take advantage of it. But, you know, Daniel raced me clean all day long. But, yeah, at the end there, when I saw, you know, up in my mirror that he had to stop, it was definitely a huge sigh of relief just because it went from a car being 6 car lengths behind me to 16 car lengths behind me. And, like I said, just Daniel was a little bit better in certain places, and I was a little bit better in certain places. But, you know, the places I was a little bit better than him, it was such a fine line between hitting it and missing it. And if I missed it, that was the spots on the racetrack where it paid off the most dividend. And, you know, fortunately, the lap before he had his issue, that was when I missed turn eight the biggest. And that was about the closest he had been. So it worked out perfect to where, obviously, it worked out for us. Hate it for him. You know, they're running for a championship. But definitely to be able to you know, race with Daniel Hemric and outrun him, you know, he's one of the fastest guys in the Cup race this weekend. So it means a lot to me personally. And to beat guys like Justin Marks, who are phenomenal road course racers, it's definitely, you know, a special feeling.
All right, any final questions? Okay, we'll take one more from Daniel.
I don't know if you've gotten back to your cell phone yet, Chase, but if you had, what's the ratio of congratulation text messages and Cup drivers asking for advice for tomorrow?
I can tell you how many text messages I got. One sec. 151 right now, so it'll take me a little bit to get through them. When I won Eldora, it locked my Twitter up for like 4 hours, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through all those, but... it's definitely, you know, going to be special to have, you know, see the Cup guys congratulating me. They don't realize it, but I look up to those guys and have been for a long time, and I still get nervous around them. Every time I'm around Tony, I'm a nervous wreck just because he's my idol and my hero. So to have guys like him, and I don't know if Harvick or them guys congratulating me, but those are guys I look up to. So it's going to be neat to go through and see everybody that texted me for sure.
All right. Well, Chase, congratulations again on the win this afternoon, and we appreciate all of you guys spending some time with us.
Thank you.